Hello, it's Randy Rhodes. Here's a clip from our show, and go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.
Mary had a little man.
The fault.
We believe that all men are created equal.
To the magnificent mosaic that is America.
From radio beacon to radio beacon.
I have a dream today.
Change has come to America.
Believe it. Knock, knock. Who's there?
It's a figment of your imagination.
Randy Rhodes Show. Turn up your mind.
CIA John Brennan, he responded to your Twitter. You said you questioned whether or not he might be the leaker. He's saying, no, he's not the leaker. What's your response?
Well, I accept his. Look, I accept it, but it came out of someplace, and it's fake news. It's all fake news. You know, I can say something about George Washington. I can say something about Abraham Lincoln. I can say something about you. I can just fake news. And they shouldn't have been a part of it. They should not have been a part of it because it's made up, never existed, never happened. And the reason I say that so strongly, because nothing's ever going to show up. There's never going to be a tape that shows up. There's never going to be anything that shows up. Now, I would be very embarrassed if a tape actually showed up saying something like that. It would be double embarrassed because I'm saying it. There is no tape. There is no event. I was never even in that room for that period of time. They made stuff up, and it started with the Republican Party when they tried to beat me in the nomination, and then it went on. The Democrats took over that work, supposedly, and by the intelligence giving it credence, a little bit of credence, by just even talking about it, it was very inappropriate. So I don't know who the leaker was. I have no idea, but...
The leakers were the prostitutes, is who they were. Oh, everybody, the 45th president of the United States. Holy crap, man. Could we just call him His Royal Ass Holiness or something like this? I mean, do we really have to refer to him as president? This is unbelievable. You need to buy podcasts because I'm going to need therapy. I'm going to need medical care. Roger Stone thinks he was poisoned by polonium now. I mean, this is incredible. Steve Mnuchin was testifying up on Capitol Hill today saying that he wasn't a foreclosure king. No, he was a refinancing saint. He was a saint, I tell you. He was saving people from the cold eviction notices on there. Holy crap, this is all upside down and ass backwards. But here he is. Here he is. This is the man that can't stop talking about the new Watergate, about the leaking, about yellow journalism. Oh my God, it's going to be endless, the flow of information that comes from him. You know, here he is. This is his bizarre denial. He cannot stop. This man cannot stop talking about the sordid details of that private investigator, the former MI6 officer Chris Steele's dossier. He can't stop talking about the details of Watergate. And that's because the truly awful, impeachable part of the scandal is if he cooperated with the Russians and that he was peeing on all of us, see? And now there's information that more than five other agencies, the FBI and five other agencies, are investigating whether or not the Kremlin aided the new king of America. This is unbelievable. This is an amazing story. But I got to tell you, you know, he keeps talking about paying prostitutes to pee on a bed. And that's because it's a distraction from something worse. Now, how far down the rabbit hole do you need to go before America goes, all right, we're embarrassed, enough, enough, enough. So his lame excuse about, I could say something about George Washington. I could say something about Abe Lincoln. But I got news for you. The first reaction of the American people isn't going to be, oh, yeah, that's something Abe would do. But when they hear it about you, their first reaction is, that is something he would do. So here's the difference. Well, you know, I'd be double embarrassed because there were two girls. No, he goes, because a tape will never show up. That's because everything's digital these days. There are no tapes. So, parsing, yes, he's correct. There will never be a tape. But, I mean, here, his bizarre denial was, I was never even in that room for that period of time. All right, can we not say period when we're talking about this? Because we've already had experiences of seeing Megyn Kelly with blood coming out of her wherever because of something he said. So let's not go down that road. But he said, I was never even in that room for a period of time. How long does it take for prostitutes to pee on a bed? Because it seems he's got a ballpark figure in his head on how long a pee party scenario would actually take. I couldn't have done it. It would take at least 20 minutes for me to teach the prostitutes to chant Evil Obama, we pee pee where you slept. Go back to Kenya? 20 minutes for that? Yes, because English would not be their first language. They were Russian. They were Russian prostitutes and the best in the world. So anyway, this is it. This is where we are. This is our last freaking day. Our last day before. I don't know. I don't know what this is. The peaceful transfer of democracy into the hands of a fascist, white supremacist, white nationalist. This is creepy. It's crazy. And, you know, I'm watching these hearings, as you know, and I'm recording them and trying so hard to bring them to you. And now we're all the way, we're past Mnuchin and the media doesn't want to, you know, talk about this man who obviously needs a bowel movement and his lovely wife that's sitting behind him with whoever her surgeon is. It's not natural. The lips. Stay away from the freaking lips. Let them go thin. It's such a tell. But there he is, you know, saying, all kinds of things about how he was the great savior of housing. He bought this, he bought a bank, IndyMac, that was the leader in making liar loans, bad loans, loans to people who didn't even have to show that they had jobs or didn't have to fill out income statements or anything like that. And when the market crashed in 2008, by 2009, New Year's Eve, he did this. This is how he celebrates. He said, I'll buy that bank. Why? Because it was FDIC insured loans. And he knew he could make money off of that. And so he went ahead and bought all these bad loans through IndyBank and then went about foreclosing on 36,000 people. And now he has the nerve to sit there in front of the Senate and say, listen, I didn't do this, to make money. I did this out of the goodness of my heart, basically. Oh, this is it's so twisted. I mean, you know, Betsy DeVos gave millions of dollars to organizations that do conversion therapy. And she was asked whether or not she supports conversion therapy. And she was like, no, I never believed in conversion therapy. Then she's really bad at philanthropy. Okay, you got her. You got her pissing off the entire population of mothers and fathers of disabled students. Oh, my God. So many people have spoken out in the past 24 hours who send their kids to public schools who say, I can't believe she doesn't understand the federal laws that apply to, our students, our kids with Asperger's and autism and cerebral palsy and all the other things that, you know, public schools rise up to the occasion to educate, right? She said, and she's like, so you have her, we'll go over her again. Tom Price, who treated his time in Congress as, an episode of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, except that he had all the answers to the quiz and then just shared them with his broker, right? And now you got Steve Mnuchin, who's like, I'm not conflicted. Don't worry about it. Blah, blah, blah. I didn't, Oh, this was just, and Claire McCaskill today just grilled him.
Will he be able to fire and hire the ethics officer?
The ethics officer, as it relates to his trust, I have no idea.
Who would hire and fire the ethics officer if it wasn't him?
Again, I don't have access to the trust documents, and I don't know the answer.
Wait. We're not talking about trust. We're talking about he has said he's going to have an ethics officer to oversee him in the government. Who is going to hire and fire his ethics officer?
It's a good question. I would be more than happy to ask him and talk to him about
I'll ask
it
him.
And come back. I think you raise an important issue, and I think he'll understand that. I don't have the answer.
He is not divesting any of his business interests, correct?
Correct. I believe he sold his public stocks and his other liquid
investments. I'm talking about his business. Is it fair to characterize him as an international businessman?
I believe so.
Okay. And he will enjoy the benefits of his business's success while he is president, correct?
Again, I believe he'll do everything legally and as a
No. This is not my question. My question is, he has said very loudly he will go back to his business after he is president. In fact, he even said he'd fire his sons if they hadn't done a good job. So whatever success his business enjoys during his presidency, he will get the benefit of, correct?
Well, I missed the part about firing his sons, but that sounds like something he may have said. But the yes, he's the economic owner, so by definition, I would assume that he would have that.
His businesses in other countries and in this country intersect with foreign countries. Do you agree?
So I've read, yes.
And isn't it true that a lot of his debt is held by foreign interests?
I don't know. I've just read it in the papers.
Do you think you should know that as someone who runs the Committee on Foreign Investments? If we're talking about the Commander-in-Chief, should you, as Secretary of the Treasury, know what percentage of his debt? I am told by people who are familiar with his business that it is a huge percentage of his debt that is held by foreign interests.
Well, as I said, if I am confirmed, I assure you that I will make sure that the requirements of the Constitution are upheld. And I think you have a valid point about foreign debt and understanding foreign things. And I'm confirmed, I will research that and get back to you.
Okay, so what I want to get a commitment from you today is that you will report to this committee what percentage of the debt against the Trump enterprises is held by foreign interests. That is your job as the Secretary of Treasury, and I want your commitment that you will report to this committee as soon as you are able to get that information from the new president.
I'm not making the commitment today report to the committee on anything, but what I am willing to do is, to the extent I am confirmed, I am willing to speak to the chairman and make sure that whatever the committee thinks it needs, I will discuss with the president.
Holy crap. Holy freaking crap. So Goldman Sachs man, Steve Mnuchin for Treasury, he's going to come in handy when it's time to foreclose on the EPA and the Department of Energy and the Department of Education. When they get shut down, I'm sure Mnuchin will know how to dispose of the tranches of money, you know, money allotted for education, money allotted for, nuclear arsenal maintenance, money allotted for environmental protection. He'll know, because he's a guy who bought a bank that was FDIC insured and turned it into a foreclosure machine while claiming that he saved 100,000 jobs. He actually said that today and will not comply with the constitutional requirement that the Department of Treasury has to oversee the Commander-in-Chief, whether or not he's violating the Emoluments Clause, meaning he's enriching himself with foreign government money. That's what that questioning was about, whether or not he would do it. He said, I'm not committing, haven't talked to him, don't know how much debt he owes to foreign governments, never really spoke. And, you know, this is a recurring theme with all of the nominees. Never talked to him about it. Don't know what his opinion is. I'm not sure. Got to ask him. Never came up. Russia never came up. Never, you know. It's an amazing thing.
I can assure you, the American people need to know, and you and your job as Secretary of the Treasury that is supposed to be determining national security interests based on foreign investment, the American people want to know how much debt that is owed by the Trump businesses is owed to foreign entities, and because that could have a direct impact on our national security.
Duh. So I don't know what this is, this peaceful handover of our government to this man and his cronies. I don't know what to call it. It's not a peaceful transfer of democratic power. It's a peaceful transfer of democracy to something else. And we're just handing it off. We're just doing it. We're just, you know, here you go. Here you go. Here, you take it now. But I got to tell you, I mean, I recorded 7 minutes of Mnuchin. I don't think I'll bore you with all of it, but it's unbelievable. The man even brought up Octomom today, saying that foreclosing on Octomom was a sad, it was a sad day for him. He felt really, really bad. This man is turning himself into a freaking saint here. I don't even understand. How in the world any of this is like passing as somebody confirmable? How is this possible?
We had lived in our house 25 years. John got sick with cancer. Then the bank foreclosed on us. We did everything the bank asked. They lied to us and took our home anyway. John spent his last days terrified I'd be homeless. And then they kicked me out right after the funeral.
Oh my God.
Steve Mnuchin ran the bank that committed fraud and took our home. And now Donald Trump has nominated him to run our economy as Treasury Secretary. We can't let that happen. We had lived in our house.
Well, it's happening. It's happening. It is the most amazing thing. So this, the story of IndyMac, the story of Steve Mnuchin profiting off of the, he's a hedge fund guy, first of all, okay? And people have said he got away with murder. And everything that we hated about Washington, D.C., everything we hated about George W. Bush, everything we hated about bailing out Wall Street, it's all, I mean, why would we even consider Mnuchin as somebody to talk to after he profited off of foreclosures that were caused by deregulation of the banking system? Why? And he was sitting there today saying, but Donald Trump, you know, whatever you say, well, George Bush did it or Barack Obama didn't. What? But your guy was supposed to drain the swamp. And these are the swamp monsters. Steve Mnuchin's takeover of IndyMac, it's a story about everything Americans have come to hate about how the financial crisis was allowed to happen. Ordinary people panicking, ordinary people losing everything, and savvy investors pouncing. He bought a bank that was guaranteed by the government. He didn't even try to keep people in their homes. He cleverly rebranded it into another bank called One West, and then foreclosed on 36,000 people, billions of dollars in profit. And the cruelest punchline of all is he's being nominated and put himself up there today as the saint of the banking crisis. He tried so hard to save people's homes. He wants to set the record straight. Oh, no, I tried. Here, I'll play a few seconds of it.
I'm eager to share with you why I believe I will serve well as America's next Secretary of the Treasury. But first, I want to correct the record about my involvement with IndyMac Bank. Since I was first nominated to serve as Treasury Secretary, I have been maligned as taking advantage of others' hardship in order to earn a buck. Nothing could be further than the truth.
Oh, please.
During the summer of 2008, I saw the devastation that was caused by the housing crisis when I watched people line up to get their life savings out of IndyMac Bank. It was the middle of the financial crisis, and despite the global panic, I saw a way to save the bank. I applied for a banking charter and submitted a bid to the FDIC for IndyMac.
Oh,
on December 31st, just before midnight,
New Year's
we
Eve.
Signed a binding agreement with the FDIC.
You know, that's what everybody does on New Year's Eve. They signed a binding agreement with the FDIC just minutes before midnight on New Year's Eve 2008, turning 2009. Everybody does that, right? Everybody goes, hey, man, let's buy an FDIC-insured bank that's going belly up. Let's do that. You know, he said he saw TV news footage of panicked customers, and Max Abelson and Zachary Mitre reported Steve Mnuchin watching people go, running to the bank to get their cash out. And they have him saying, this bank is going to end up failing and we need to figure out how to buy it. I've seen this game before. And he did it to make money. But now all of a sudden, he's the saint in all this. Don't you understand? He's the saint. Hedge fund billionaire John Paulson, the guy that said, we must bail out Wall Street. We need $750 billion. Got to do it. He was his partner. So he knew the government was going to bail out all these banks. And they scooped up IndyBank for $1.6 billion. And they sold it for $3.4 billion. How'd they do that? They unloaded all the bad mortgages by foreclosing on those homes. And then he sold it to, and they rebranded again, and now they're CIT. This is our new Treasury Secretary who says, I will not fire the ethics officer. I'm not even going to demand that Trump tell you what his debt is. I'll talk to him. I'll talk to him.
For a commercial-free, on-demand, whenever, wherever listening experience, visit randyrhodes.com for your personal premium podcast today.
Go to randyrhodes.com for the whole thing and a podcast. Buy a stinking podcast.